Hey, welcome to our podcast. This is Bad Playstyle. Bad Playstyle is a book club podcast where we all sit down and play the same game. And hopefully you have played the same game at home so that you can be intellectually engaged with our conversation.
Not psychically savaged by the infinite spoiler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to spoil every game that we set out to play. And any games that come up, I don't know, we'll probably fucking spoil them too, so check the show notes before you listen to an episode if you don't want to get blindsided by us mentioning off the cuff that, I don't know, Paul Ryan is Atlas.
Hey everybody.
Clap me right on.
We're back. One thing I'd like to note is that I am not sick anymore.
Yeah.
Owen, are you sick anymore?
I don't.
A smidge.
Well timed, right. A little cough.
Keenan, how are you feeling?
I'm the usual amount of brain sick, but otherwise I'm great.
Brain sick.
Yeah.
Is that anything like
I see a lady once a week for it. It's cool.
Oh, brain sick. I get it. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So we have, going around counterclockwise, we have
Owen Harriman,
Keenan Bailey,
and Matt.
Matt who?
Matt. Just Matt. Okay. They can figure it out if they want to.
Yeah, we weren't that hard to find.
No.
We went and looked.
So, hi fellas, what did we play? Also, we should do the thing that we just talked about.
Any game we talk about on this podcast, any game, we will spoil.
Yeah, and
just assume
you
that.
We will list the games we talk about in our podcast beforehand. Yeah. And if you see any games you don't want to hear about,
it doesn't matter. Anyway, so that's the spoiler.
Those are also two super generic
games. That's the spoiler tag. We're gonna spoil everything. What are we spoiling this week, Keenan?
We're gonna play. We played. We're gonna talk about.
Duskers.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about Duskers.
And Inside.
I'm not particularly excited to have this conversation, but
we can tangent.
I'm kinda looking forward to fucking up this game.
You wanna get in this game's guts?
Yeah. Well, shouldn't we talk about the games we played first?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the two people should get hyped.
Tori and Trevor.
Yeah. So what are we playing, Keenan, this week? What? Or actually, 2 weeks, because we didn't record last week.
Yeah.
For no stated reason.
Yeah. Because we all just banged the game out.
And yeah.
We just didn't do it last week.
We just didn't do it.
Way to pull the curtain on our audience.
Whatever.
Yeah. So, the magic, it's been destroyed.
Look, I want to leave enough context clues in the podcast that if someone wants to go crazy and fill out a timeline, they can do
like,
it.
Like, it was a good day.
Yeah, like, it was a good day. Okay. Yeah.
You could get some yarn and photos attached to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Aglets, true purpose, sinister. So,
true purpose, 2 weeks. Sinister?
2 weeks I've been playing
true
video
purpose,
games.
True purpose, sinister.
You know, we're going to let that one slide, Matt. Wink.
I'm going to say true purpose.
What have I been playing? I've been playing a lot of HOTS with you guys still. Because that's been a good time.
Yeah.
Last night was a little rough.
I think we did.
But I didn't walk away from that game hating myself or others the way
that's
I would with
the thing
League.
I love about that MOBA as compared to other MOBAs is when I've played other MOBAs in the past.
Yeah.
And I inevitably lose because I know nothing about the game.
Right.
Because the amount of game knowledge you need to play a MOBA is, frankly, like, insulting.
Obsessive.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's demanding
and crazy. The amount of game knowledge you need to have. But, you walk away from a Dota losing experience or a LoL losing experience feeling like someone shit inside your soul.
Yeah, you spend an hour trying to
beat
a thing up, and then it beats you up, and you walk away with lower self-esteem as a result.
Exactly.
Whereas I lose a HOTS game, and I'm like, man,
that character's mechanics sure were fun.
Yeah, or like, man, that Mirrodin really stomped my shit in.
I would love to play that type of Mirrodin.
Right.
I'm going to look at his talents.
Every time I play a game of HOTS, I go in with a couple assumptions. One is that HOTS is the MOBA for babies, which is why I'm playing.
Because I am a baby.
And that I'm, like, really, really bad at baby MOBA. I become very uninvested, because I still want to win, and it still pisses me off when shitty things happen. But, like, if I lose, it's just like, damn, man. next game.
Yeah.
I like that, though, because you go in with so few expectations for yourself that you're off the hook.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which, like, I'm not capable of after a certain point with any game.
And I take the extra the selfish extra step of turning off teammate text chat. So I can hear you guys talk on our headsets, but, like, when we get paired up with some rando and they want to talk shit about...
What do you mean, some rando? The two listeners. We get paired up with our listeners.
Yeah, but when Corey and Trevor get matched up with us... and they want to talk shit about the Murky on their team playing the wrong Murky build. Like, I don't get to hear it.
I love the way you play HOTS because it is the essence of there being no bad way to play.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Play style.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Like, you arguably have the worst in the context of our game, yeah. Or our, you know, podcast, the worst play style. And it works.
Yeah.
You know? So it's cool.
Works just fine.
I do my Murky.
Anyway, so HOTS, we're talking about Keenan, what he's playing.
Lots of Rainbow Six Siege still. That's gotten patched recently, so some of the kinks have been ironed out, but the long time ones are still there,
because
hey, servers are hard, UB.
That's why there aren't any in For Honor.
Yeah, because they were like, fuck, we don't need those. They're all our problems.
Everybody get a lag switch. That's the meta.
Still playing some Duskers. It's kind of got its hooks in me in like a casual sort of way. And I played Inside. It's kind of a light video game week for me.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
I've been playing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, there's quite a list.
Yeah, after our last recording...
You're back in the valley, right?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
there's like a chronology of...
Okay, there's an order to this. I get that.
So like,
we're not going to do machete order on your video game
play. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So after our last recording, I was still playing Duskers a bit. I put like another like 10 hours into that game. and I tried to like we talked last time about how like the story is like out there. And, like, you get these, like, kind of hard objectives. And so I tried really hard to, like, go do it and, like, find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And was completely unsuccessful.
that game is unforgiving. I can understand that.
It's unforgiving. And, like, just, like, the amount of RNG required to, like, start doing one of those objectives is, like, very debilitating. And it's almost to the point where I think this is based on almost nothing. This is idle speculation on my part. I bet those storylines... don't have satisfying endings. I bet their purpose is not to ever be fully investigated. I bet their purpose is to be there looming and, like, create an atmosphere of unknowingness.
Right.
Well, yeah, that game's all about atmosphere.
I will buy that.
Yeah.
I will buy that idea.
And that's just a suspicion of mine. I may be totally selling the developers short.
Do you think that the space moss... Is the guardian of the story? The guardian of the story.
Get the mold.
I fucking hope not, because I reset my progress because I got sick of seeing that space fungus, and now I'm getting swarms instead, and I'm not sure which is worse.
Swarms are annoying because they're immune to everything.
They also immediately come through any door you open.
Yep.
So if you don't have motion scanning, and like if you're doing a stealth run, and you're like, ooh, I stealth. I open the door. Swarms in the room.
Swarms in the room. And has already bumped you.
Yeah, yeah. So they know you're there. And they're attacking you. Yeah.
They're immune to so many strategies.
Yeah. So, like, I don't mean to, like, slight the developers. I found out the developer team is a couple. It's a husband and wife.
Yeah.
And they prototyped Duskers on, like, with paper, like, on table.
Oh,
like,
cool.
A tabletop.
I didn't know that.
That
part.
Makes sense.
If you go to their YouTube channel, you can check it out.
That's their really YouTube cool. channel That's really is cool. Really cool.
Yeah, I was, like, kind of digging around, like, who the fuck are these people?
They made a good trailer. I like their trailer.
Yeah, the trailer's really good. It's just like a command prompt.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah, it's a really good trailer.
What else have I been playing? I have been playing House of the Dying Sun, which is my new favorite VR game. It is a PC game that is designed to just be a desktop PC game first. It's a cockpit, like, space dogfighting game, which is why... despite not being designed as a VR game, it works fine, because really the only VR element is that you can look around your cockpit and look, like, up at ships that are above you or to your side.
So it would be like a sitting VR game.
Yeah, it is a sitting VR game.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest I play with a gamepad.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely I play with a gamepad, I think, just because its mouse controls seem to not work quite properly when you're in VR, and yeah, anyway, play with a gamepad. It's really cool. It's got this, like, really crisp, like... if you guys have seen a game, Brendan Chung's Flotilla, it's like if there was a slider of all the way voxel down to, like, just a shaded cube, and then, like, ultra high realistic on the other end of this slider, and Flotilla's, like, maybe one notch up from just a plain cube. This is one notch up from that.
Okay.
So it's like, it's still super, like, stylish.
It's pretty blocky.
But it's a little more detailed, and it's looking good. the ships all look like they're kind of out of like Homeworld.
Yeah, I've seen some footage, and it's kind of got this really like, I feel like their ship designs and things are designed to be familiar.
Yeah, yeah. It's also really clear that the people who made this game think Battlestar Galactica is very cool.
Is that part of the reason why you started watching Battlestar?
It is. Yeah. That's part of like a chain of events that leads to other games.
Sure.
So like
you always tell like a story with what games you've been playing. This
yeah,
week.
I like that though.
So yeah. Like it's got like this taiko drum soundtrack that's like super dramatic.
Yeah.
And like the music is like otherwise bare. You can do that thing they do in Battlestar where your ship is flying like in one direction and can use its reaction thrusters to point itself in a different direction.
Can maintain your inertia but change your orientation.
Yeah, exactly. And fire in that direction as you're coasting like pointed off all cockeyed.
That's good. That's the thing.
It's real cool. Like if you plot a course to fly alongside a capital ship and then turn so you're facing it and just light it up as you're rolling out.
Oh, that's just you talking about that is a good feeling.
Like, you guys gotta play this game. It's fucking dope.
Yeah, I got kind of, like, chubby right there.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's a good feeling just hearing about
also,
it.
Also, like, every time you boot up the game, even if you're resuming your save game, it gives you these, like, these slides. It's, like, black screen, white text. The Emperor is dead. Like, next slide.
Yeah.
The Royal Guard is scattered. Next slide. A false king sits on the throne.
Oh, shit.
Next slide.
Kill the traitor.
Carry out the Emperor's last edict.
Yeah.
Hunt the traitor lords.
Nice.
And so it's like, okay, cool. I'm going to fight to, like, restore the Empire, obviously. That's what I'm doing, like, over the story. And it's like, you get this, like, Star Fox-style galaxy map to, like, jump to systems and do things. And, like, you work your way up and you get more ships in your fleet and you go to the last level, finally. And you go to the throne world and it's like, we're going to bomb the false king. And it's like, fucking cool, man. We're gonna take back the capital. And they're like, you need to cover the artillery ship. Well, it bombs the shit out of the planet and go kill these guys. And you're doing that, and the artillery ship starts firing on the planet, and like the first volley lights up like the northern hemisphere.
Yo, shit.
Like you're just glassing this planet. Like you're just and it's like, and like at the end, I forget what the epilogue's really good too. I'm not gonna like spoil that. Like it's got a good bleak ass epilogue.
Well, because yeah, when
I mean, those slides tell you you're just out for blood.
I saw this game back before it had VR support. Mm-hmm. It was in one of my Steam slideshows or whatever the fuck they're called.
The queue.
Yeah,
here's your queue. You play a lot of action games.
I watched that trailer which shows those slides. Where it said that, and so I instantly got the impression that it was sort of a semi-roguelike thing. Where, like, you go and you kill as many of these dudes as possible. And then you die and you restart.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the roguelike thing because the campaign's like super short.
Right.
It's like 5 hours to beat the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I started over halfway, so it's probably less than that. I kind of wish it was a roguelike. Like, I just want to keep jumping into systems and like blowing up ships or capturing containers.
That'd be cool.
Like, it's got a real dramatic effect to it. Like, in a lot of levels, after you complete an objective or spend a certain amount of time in the level, it'll just warn you, like, the traitor flagship's about to jump into the system. And, like, you need to, like, finish what you're doing now and, like, leave. So, like there was one where our objective was to kill one of the traitor lords. And he was, like, in a big ship. And that ship was flying towards the center of our sector that we're fighting in where there's a jump gate. And if he gets there, you lose.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's, like, almost on the jump gate. Like, shit's going kind of bad for me and my team. I order all my fighters to just do a suicide running, collide themselves with the traitor lord's ship. His ship blows up right in front of the warp gate, and I'm getting this alert, like, traitor flagship's arriving in the system in, like, 2 seconds. I point myself at the extra point and, like, start spooling up the hyperdrive, and I see the ship, like, boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah.
It does, I got a lot of bad things to say about the new Star Trek movies, but one thing I do love
is their warp-in
effect is really good. The warp-in effect when you are in your cockpit into the system in VR looks incredible. Having, like, this whole little sector of, like, asteroids and planets come up in your face.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, capital ship pops in, I jump out of the system, and I was, like, I was hooting
just
and
giving the finger on the way by.
Yeah, yeah. I've literally done that. Like, I when I'm doing it in VR, I turn and I, like, wave at the other ships when we're in warp, you know? Like, it's
good.
That's a good game. So, anyway, like, I beat House of the Dying Sun, and it made me really want to play or watch Battlestar Galactica again.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing that. That's still a quality show. And then I wanted to play a game while doing that was, like, kind of low energy. So I booted up a DS emulator and was playing that. And the ROM on that was not in good shape and kind of broke after, like, half an hour of play. So I started playing Stardew Valley again. And that game is still what it was. It's a good game. It's a good...
But you said you were placing some restrictions on yourself. You weren't going into the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. So Stardew Valley is a game where you run a farm, and you grow vegetables and harvest milk and cheese and things like that. But it also incorporates this element of going into a mine and having procedurally generated levels where you fight monsters and collect ore. And that part's pretty crucial to the game. There are ways to work around it, around having to engage in it. And I've played Stardew Valley a lot. I think I have like 170 hours logged in it. It's a game that's really easy to just fall into a habit and then play it all night, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
20 more minutes, 3 hours later.
Yeah, yeah, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Paradox Interactive.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah,
yeah. So I'm not going... I put a limitation on myself to not go into the mines. To, like, not go fight all the monsters. Because, like, the combat in the game actually sucks. It's just, like... It's like playing, like, Zelda Link's Awakening, but, like, with less tools.
That sounds like it sucks.
It's okay as like an ancillary system in the game. If it were the core of the game, it'd be like, why am I playing?
But it's not. So was that it?
I forgot.
So speaking of Paradox Interactive and Zelda.
Yeah. So these have been so prevalent in my life in the last week that I completely forgot about both of them because I literally spent all day doing one of them yesterday. No,
it's too late. You didn't mention them. Now you haven't played.
It's too late. I didn't play them. Yeah. So I've been playing a lot of. That's a lot of wind. I've been playing a lot of Stellaris, which is a Paradox Interactive game. I would say it's the best game for someone to get into Paradox Interactive games with.
Yeah.
Because its systems aren't, like, so deep you're crying yet.
What is this game?
It's a space 4X game. And it's
what does that mean?
It is an exploration, exploit... I don't know what all 4Xs are, but it's a lot like...
Exterminate.
It's Command and Conquer?
Kind of. But no.
No, it's you're running a spacefaring civilization, and you collide with other spacefaring civilizations, and there's a multitude of ways in which you can interact with them. Keenan had a game the other day where a robot civilization happened inside your civilization.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there, and one of the things, like, the very beginning part of that game's, like, track is that you start in your star system, mm-hmm. and there's maybe one habitable planet in your star system, and maybe some resources in it that you can find. And then you start out with a science ship that can go out and survey stuff. Like, you've just discovered FTL.
Okay.
Is sort of the technological level you're at. So, and then you're setting up research and these other tracks of things going on. You set up diplomatic stuff with spacefaring races you run into, but at the beginning of the game, you don't know anyone. You only know your sector. You may have sent some probes out.
It's like the beginning of a civilization game.
Yeah, so you're running around, yeah, you find some space pirates who are just barbarians, like in Civ,
yeah.
That kind of thing. Eventually, you start expanding and colonizing planets, building your area up, keeping other people out of it, if you like, those kinds of things. But at one point in my game, I ran into a planet that had a more primitive civilization. So they were an early space age, but no FTL civilization.
Okay.
And I was just like, okay, that's cool, and I set up a listening post to sort of watch them. Just no big deal, it's one of the things you can do. You can set it up to, like, abduct them. You can technologically uplift them if you want. You can do my favorite option, but I don't always do this. You can do the lizard man, take over their government, pull them into your shit. Like, cool. Like that's just one of the options
That.
But you can also just set up a listening post and, like, gain some society science credit for watching them.
Okay.
So I did that. Next thing I know, like, you know, 100 years later, I'm still scouring the universe for stuff and looking for resources and whatever and, you know, building up some planets. Next thing I know, like, oh, the map color changed in my zone. What? Well, they've gotten FTL.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're, like, dog shit compared to me.
Okay.
And so I'm like, oh, hey, guys. You know, like, I diplomatically wave at them. I'm like, hey, if anyone comes and fucks with you, we'll fuck them up for you. Right? Like, I set up that track. Right. I'm like, I want these guys in my back pocket.
America in World War II to South America.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. We were... I was like, yo, like, I'm the big kid in your block.
You are solidly in my sphere of influence, and if anyone does anything,
yeah.
I will kill them.
I still consider this Browns part of the galaxy you have mine, but we're gonna let you do your thing, you know? So that was,
What are these poor people called?
God, I don't know. It's all so randomly generated.
Okay.
I don't latch on to that very well.
Okay.
Then what was the other thing?
The other thing is, I asked my girlfriend on Friday morning a very important question, and she said yes, so I came home with a...
Taco Bell bag.
I came home with a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, and a Taco Bell bag.
And a Taco Bell bag, and some Zelda, so I've been playing that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Like any new system, getting used to the control structure is very odd for me, but I'm getting there.
Why does every system insist on putting all the buttons in a different spot? Yeah. Games like hit B, and I hit Xbox B, and it's like, no, that's A.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, in this case, at least, we're talking about Nintendo.
No, I understand that, like, Nintendo has an ancestral right to put those buttons in the same place. I'm not complaining for them. They did it first.
No, that's not even what I mean. I mean, it's like, Nintendo's gonna do, like, whatever mutated weird thing they came up with this time around.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, the thing with that game is, like, I don't have a lot of Nintendo or Zelda experience. I am still in the middle of my virgin run of Super Mario World. Right, that's how I'm almost 30 and doing that. So I'm a little behind on that, but
notice we haven't talked about it on the podcast yet. That's how much that happens.
That's how much I play it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
that's
so
a good game you should play.
It's a good ass game. I just haven't played it lately.
It's the best platformer that was ever made.
I can actually close to agree with that.
If send all corrections to badplaystyle at gmail.
So it's a Paul Ryan at whatever. So
in the past, I've sort of bounced off Zelda games because it's this pile of
whitehouse.gov.
Yeah, something like that.
It's this pile of like, hey, jump in this dungeon, get this thing, use that thing everywhere in this dungeon until you know what the fuck it's for.
Yeah.
Kind of formula, and that hasn't been my thing. The new one is not that at all. Like, I just picked up a boomerang. It's not the boomerang. It's just one of the weapons I have. Mm-hmm. It also makes me hit A button to catch it, which is kind of neat and also frustrating if I throw it at people.
You know, it's drawing from Miyamoto's childhood experiences of using a boomerang and getting that authentic experience of throwing a boomerang and the difficulty of catching it.
I forgot both of those.
You can't see it, but I'm shaking my head in a 70-year-old man sort of way.
So I forgot both of those because they've been, like, the background of my life in one form. If I'm not playing the Switch, someone else in my house is.
Yeah.
So it's sort of easy
to forget.
It's
hard to get used to it being able to move around the house.
Yeah, yeah, that, like, you're supposed to just pick it up and walk away. Like, I don't do that with anything else, so I'm like...
Yeah. Video games are traditionally a stationary.
Yeah, so Matt's like, yo, bring that out here while I'm playing on the TV in my room. I'm like, yeah, I can do that, okay, and
wait,
then
wait,
I...
Wait, did you just call the living room my room?
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, it is, but...
I said bring it out here while I was playing in my room.
Well, we'll take the tapes later. We'll
okay, see. Okay. So anyways, he'll be like, hey, come hang out here. Like, we're both doing stuff, but whatever. There's no... That thing moves! And I'm like, huh, you're right, clip, okay, like...
How does the cartridge taste?
It's small.
It's small and it tastes a lot like plastic.
Did you actually put it in your mouth?
No.
So the reason I asked
and it rattles.
I did.
You did?
No. It looks like a DS cartridge.
The reason I ask is this is actually apparently a weirdly newsworthy item. It has a like child turning bittering agent applied to it.
That explains that Kotaku article title I saw.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and so, like, it's to the point where, like, it's been, like, a C-list news item on television of, like, people putting Switch cards.
Slow news day, let's talk about how the Switch tastes weird.
Yeah, the new Nintendo came out and it tastes bad.
The new Nintendo came out and it tastes bad.
Yep.
I love that. Are we good?
Yeah, I mean, that system looks cool. I'll probably get one eventually. I like what they're putting down.
Yeah, I liked what I felt. It was good.
I've heard the kickstand sucks on the...
I haven't even flipped mine out.
Okay.
I'm a little worried because the mounting brackets where the Joy-Cons slide in already feel like they're wobbling, and we've had it for 3 days. So, like...
I don't actually feel that. I think that's maybe you.
Maybe I'm just flexing on it too hard.
Those creatine shit's catching up.
Do you have the red-blue?
Yeah.
So do you think that together they are Joy-Con? Or are they Joy-Cons?
I have seen it in documentation as Joy-Cons. Okay. So I have stuck with
that. I know what I think. I'm just asking you guys.
Yes.
This is another GIF gift.
I'm not ready to, like, wage war over this. I think it's interesting.
Implying he is over GIF and GIF.
No.
Implying, oh, it's got his pike handy.
No, I just think it's interesting because Nintendo always has its own, like...
Oh, yeah, they play by their own fucking rules.
Yeah, they have all their own nomenclature.
If someone told Nintendo to bring their badge and their gun in, they'd be like, yeah, sure, whatever, boss, and leave. Like,
So Matt, what have you been playing? Matt hasn't been playing games. We can move on.
Yeah. Well, I played Inside, like, the day after it was assigned from the...
assigned, yes. Yeah. It does kind of feel that
I
way.
I beat it in two sittings.
You've been playing that W game.
There's a little bit... There's, like, a Warframe event going on right now. You gotta, like, rescue defectors. It's pretty cool, but it's really grindy. And it's coming at a time where I'm kind of feeling the burn on that game.
You were doing that for 2 hours, and I could feel you getting tired the more I walked by you.
I just didn't want to do it anymore. But, you know, I got a few days to finish that to get the reward, so I'll do that. And everyone's mad because they're doing, like, clan fighting stuff on it. Like, it's like a clan... So, how it works is there's these dudes, and there's this point in level you go to, and this is, like, your safe zone. And then there's two other safe zones. And... every time you rescue a group of dudes, the safe zones light up again. If you get to them in 40 seconds, you light them back up, another group of dudes comes. And these are the dudes, you have to escort them all the way back to the first safe zone and then to the drop pod, which is sort of near the exit to the level. But they're losing health the entire time, which you can fix if you take the right frame. And then they are also getting attacked the entire time, so you have to, like, physically escort them and kill things all along the way.
For those not in the know, a frame is your particular suit and power set,
right?
In Warframe.
Yeah. Anyway, this just takes forever. It's like kind of fun,
okay?
But it just takes forever, and the amount that they want you to do this to get the things from the event, like to get the rewards of the event, is kind of a lot. But you do it over 5 days and it's cumulative, so it's whatever. But then the way they're doing the scoring is...
Do you think that's, like, for, an intentional design thing? Like, hey, we want to make sure that people have to invest at least
20
hours or whatever.
Yeah, they always do that. It's like they want you to play a certain amount to get the reward so that you're not, like, playing it for 2 hours, making a snap decision, then going on the forums and telling them they suck. Mm-hmm. Right? That everyone does. So they can actually, like, if you go on the forum and tell them that they suck for making this event, they can go look and be like... Well, look, I only played it for like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, but if they go and they look and you played it for, you did it, you know. But then they're doing it so, like, your clan is scored based on your single best run of this.
Okay.
Right, and it's endless.
So it's kind of like a leaderboard thing.
Yeah, it's a leaderboard thing, but it's almost since we as a community landed upon a perfect strategy, a no fail strategy. That is very tedious within hours of this event coming out. It's essentially, it's...
That sounds nightmarish.
Who wants to sit in their chair for the longest, right?
Who wants to utilize the things that are in the game to break this design content?
Because we made it... So we figured out really quickly, if you play this one frame called Limbo, you can literally put them in a different dimension. Okay. And they cannot be attacked. Okay. But they're still losing health over time. Whatever. But you can refill their health with a different frame on command. So you take two of the frames that make them invincible and two of the frames that refill their health. Sounds redundant, I know, but it's not.
One guy might be out of gas.
And remember how I told you there was 2 points you can get these guys from?
Yeah.
So you just send...
Okay.
A team, B team.
You just do this for, like, 10 hours.
And people do.
And so it's like... everybody whose clan reaches a certain threshold of points gets a blueprint for this cool gun.
Okay.
Everyone who reaches this certain higher threshold gets that gun, but it's already fully upgraded.
Okay.
Right? And everybody who is in the top 10% of whatever tier of clan, because there's tiers of clans based on how big your clan is, everyone who's in the top 10%, which is what everyone's fighting over, mm-hmm. gets a blueprint that they can buy again and again and again.
Okay.
So this is literally a source of in-game currency. Because later on in the game, when people don't have access to this thing,
right,
and have joined the game later, you can sell this to them for whatever you want to charge.
Yeah.
And so people have literally spent, like, all weekend playing this mode. Like, one instance of this mode, and it infinitely scales, but it doesn't matter because we're not taking damage, they're not taking damage, they're invincible, we're refilling their health. This is, like, it cannot fail.
what a strange cyberpunk nightmare.
Right? It's a, all for a free-to-play game object, yeah, right? Like, that's the part that's like...
Well, like
that's the part where you have to unplug at a certain point.
Even,
like,
even if this were working as intended, it's absurd. It's like, you know, like, in the distant future, the Space Ninja Clans will compete over leaderboards. Yeah. You know? And it's like, well, wait, it's more fucked up than that.
Because the idea is that the Space Ninjas won't fight each other, because that's counterproductive. That's
counterproductive.
They like challenge each other to see who is the most like effective, right, at their job.
Who's the most Space Ninja?
Yeah, who's the most Space Ninja? And like me personally, I don't care about this. Like, I want the gun. I have the gun now. Great, right? Like, I don't care to be in the top 10% of assholes. And I was having fun. Like, this event. Well, and
you don't need that like economic foot to neck.
No, I don't. Thing. I don't need that either. And so like. I was having fun with this event, right? I had fun with it. I literally had someone in a lobby yesterday tell me, I'm not here to have fun. Mm-hmm. And that, like, that's the point where you need to take a step back and re-examine.
Why am I here with this guy? Like,
I'm re-examining my shit because of something you said about you. Right? Because like, I'm having fun.
Guy buys cotton candy, looks you square in the face, says, cotton candy's bullshit. And you were the guy in line behind him.
Yeah, like...
The guy in front of you in line at the Ferris
wheel. Well, no, it's like...
I'm not here to have fun.
It's like I bought cotton candy, I'm walking around the fair eating my cotton candy going, boy, this cotton candy's delicious. I see another guy with cotton candy, and I'm like, isn't the cotton candy delicious? And he says, I don't eat it. And I'm like... Then what do you do with it?
Yeah, like,
but here's the thing, is that that's like a dude I met for 5 seconds and never wanted to speak to again because of his negative attitude. I can't ask him now.
Right, you don't get an answer.
Right, like,
it's the chicken sauce of your gaming life.
Anyway, that's Warframe.
Yeah. That's our Warframe minute from our Warframe editor, Matt.
God damn it. Then I'm still killing people in Hitman.
I saw you were playing that.
So I killed everybody in Himapan. I killed everybody in Colorado, although I did that with the Wicker Man glitch.
Oh, sure.
Not glitch, but the Wicker Man thing.
Yeah.
I found out you can summon a Kraken on Sapienza, so I'm going to do that later today. I'm going to see how that goes. My next target, I think I'm going to try to do Hokkaido, and that's going to be a tough one.
That's a very limited level.
Like, I learned in Himapan that the gun with like all the navy camo on it shares pistol ammo with the guards, so you literally have infinite ammo if you're using that thing, and you're killing guards.
I mean, you're creating ammo.
Yeah, you're creating more ammo every time.
Yeah.
You shoot a guard in the head. So I'm gonna keep doing that. What else have I been playing? Oh, I made a friend of mine play her story, and this is the thing I've always wanted to do. For those who don't know, her story is like an investigation game using a search index of
it's a video library.
Yeah, it's a video library of clips of a lady talking about a crime, and like all her interviews related to that crime, and you have to like figure out the mystery, or I guess that like the impetus to keep going.
So yeah, each video is tagged with like a set of meta tags based on the subject matter of the video.
Right, but you can only view the first five chronologically.
Right. So like if I search for hat and they've been talking about a hat, but I only get five.
You get like 37 results, but you only get to watch the first five. Yeah. So you have to do a lot of digging and stuff. But like when I played that game, I was like, this is the first game I've ever played where you actually have to use, like, investigative techniques and, like, take notes. This is the first game that ever required me to do that besides, like, Zork or some shit.
Or, like, you know? L.A. Noir.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird pigeonholing business.
Yeah, and so I've always wanted to watch someone else play this game to watch their thought process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're getting to go through the thought process, which is fun. But then I'm getting to watch them go through that thought process and, like, where each individual thread leads. Because, like, I watch a video and I'm like, I know what I saw in that video. That was interesting. But what did you see, right?
Right, and where does that lead you compared to, like, the comparison? Yeah.
So that was a really fun experience. Suggest it, you know, just sit behind someone.
I've been wanting to play that with my mother.
Yeah, I wanted to play it with my dad. I wanted to throw my dad at that. And actually, I had this other idea. I want to, I don't know when I would do this, but I want to sit down with my dad and have him sit behind me and, like, backseat drive me through L.A. Noir.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, like, wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, that would be really cool.
I saw an article in, like, PC Gamer a while back about, like, a guy who took his, like, 70-year-old dad on, like, a trip in L.A. Noir.
Nice.
And I remember his dad, like when he asked his dad for comment, his dad was like, oh, yeah, that all seemed like a pretty, you know, above board depiction of the 40s, except that there's, like, way too many white wall tires on the cars. That because
that's
like,
what stuck out.
Because that's like a really like old timey thing is to have white wall tires on cars. So like all the cars in LA Noir.
When in reality they didn't.
Yeah, and like hey, I don't know, I didn't live in the '40s, but like that was his.
And then I like that's the takeaway. I played a bit of Zelda just to try it, but I haven't really played too much because Brianna has been playing the shit out of it.
Yeah, like if my girlfriend's home, that's what she's doing. Yeah.
And what else? Do you just fine. Can you think of anything else I've been playing?
I mean, we've been playing HOTS.
Yeah, but we already talked about that. I think that's it.
I mean, like, you were gone for that one week, so, like, I didn't see what you
That was mostly Inside and Duskers.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's time to...
Yeah, it's time to talk about Inside.
Let's talk about Inside. Do you have a summary for Inside, or should someone else do it?
Okay, I'm happy to do it.
Mr. Summary Joe.
Inside is a... It is a 3D rendered but 2D in your locomotion side-scrolling puzzle game. It involves you dragging around boxes, climbing on them, pushing buttons, pulling levers, climbing on crap.
Swimming,
interacting with your environment. But on top of that, it's got like a really like oppressive visual style. It has like it's like a lot of like stark grays and dark blues and
it's
blacks.
Very brutal.
Yeah, a lot of child death.
It seems to take a lot of visual cues from the Pink Floyd "Brick in the Wall" music video.
Okay,
but like maybe without like the catchy like prog rock anthem to go with it.
Yeah, just lots of
or the fun
eating you.
It doesn't have the fun.
Well,
it had some fun.
"Brick in the Wall" doesn't have fun.
There's
really.
A little bit.
Anyways. you play as a little boy, and you are fleeing an oppressive state.
Are you a little boy?
We'll get to that.
You wear a red shirt.
Yeah,
you wear the only colored piece of clothing in the game.
Yeah. As the game starts, you are a small faceless child. And nobody has faces.
No one has faces.
Yeah, there's some
dudes. People wear masks.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the dudes in the woods all have masks.
And you start, and you're like you're fleeing. I don't know what to call them other than, like, the oppressive regime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they are the man.
The dog havers.
Yeah.
The dog havers, yes.
Yes.
The owners.
See, that's what I took away, because, like, the dogs were the thing that I was afraid of.
Yeah.
The owners.
They pursue you with dogs. There's a part where you have to flee through, like, a slaughterhouse, and there's, like, corpses everywhere.
Yeah, with slugs in them.
Yeah.
Weird brain slugs.
Pretty grotesque.
Yeah.
And then at one point you have to pop one out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like this game.
So
this game sucks.
Should we say anything?
This game is critically received.
Stop.
Fuck it.
Stop. Is there anything we should say before we start talking about why, like the various reasons this game didn't work for us? Like.
Say nice things about it first.
No, I'm just saying. Like, is there anything we need to preface so that people understand?
I think a lot of my frustration with it.
Like, I'm not saying we need to make a management sandwich here. I'm just saying,
I think I didn't understand why I was doing what I was doing, and that's where I disconnected from it.
Okay, so we're just immediately talking
about it. I think that's the nicest thing any of us is going to have to say.
I liked parts of this game.
I think it looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful game, but my... Even at the end when the cool thing happened...
Well, just talk it, like, just... I mean, there's no reason.
So that entire game, I'm conditioned to either try and fit in with the zombie people, because there's a little mini game where you walk in a line and jump in time.
Yeah, so there's like a part where you encounter like...
I liked that part.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah, that part was kind of cool, because like it was clear through what was happening, what I was expecting.
Right,
to
and
do.
It, the thing that this game actually does, interestingly, is it explains...
Let me finish explaining like what that sequence is.
Okay.
It's like a part where like there's like some people that have been... mind stapled or brainwashed or whatever.
Mind stapled. I forgot that term.
Yeah. And they're walking around like zombies, but they're doing it with like some sort of order or intelligence, like they're being controlled from somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Well, because you before that, you put on helmets and control them.
Yeah. Is that part from before?
Yeah, you do that before a little bit.
There's way more of it after.
The sequence of things is so blurred in my mind. Anyway, and so you have to masquerade as one of these zombies that's being inspected by the man, by the regime.
But then eventually a dog sells you.
Yeah.
Anyway, you were going
to... So, like, I had this really interesting moment towards the end of the game where the entire game I've been conditioned to avoid other people, right? Like, anyone who's moving like a normal person of their own volition is either going to find someone to fucking get a dog to kill me, or just have a dog kill me.
Right.
Like, that, I've been...
That's why I referred to them as the dog hammers.
Right, so I've been conditioned the entire game, one, to fucking be afraid of dogs, because I have no way to fight them off, and two, to avoid other people because of their dogs. Right? Like, that's my reaction to everyone as a result of what this game has done to me the entire time. So at the end, you bust into this science lab, and the laws of physics start breaking down, and you start controlling water from the ceiling, gravity. And things.
Yeah.
But as you progress through this, you start noticing, like, scientist-type people running to the right, like you've been doing the whole game.
Yeah.
And they completely fucking ignore you, which is weird.
Well, they even notice you and look at you, and they don't even...
And they're like, oh, whatever. To the point where you come up to this tank, and they're all staring at it, and it's like, oh, okay, whatever. I can't go right anymore. I'm gonna go left, like the game's had me do. So you, like, climb into a vent, and you go through a whole, like...
You go around.
Yeah, you basically go around, and you end up in this chamber underneath what they're looking at, and you go through another puzzle where you push and pull some things, and you end up in the thing they're looking at. And you're like, okay, cool, and you go over the glass, and you can't open the glass, and then you go to the right,
and there's this mass.
There's this mob of what used to be people who have all, like, katamari'd together.
Yeah. Like, not as disgusting as Akira.
Right, not like that.
But not as simple as Human Centipede.
It's like if you had a bunch of plasticine sculptures of people,
yeah,
and you just kind of pushed them all together into
right,
a ball.
Like, there's still there's legs, like, limbs, and arms sticking out.
Yeah.
I loved the sound design on that thing.
Oh, yeah.
When you were playing it.
So that's the thing, is, like, technologically, this game...
So we should say, you pull all these plugs out of it, and then it sucks you in, and you are it now, and yeah, you are controlling it.
Yeah, you don't have hair anymore, you're a blob.
You're this horrific product of the state.
Yeah. and the noises it makes when it's walking around
it's like there's all this grunting.
Like, it definitely doesn't know how to use its own body properly.
Yeah.
Like, that's the sound it's making.
And then you get to a beach, and the game ends. After right, kill, right. Like, and I thought
right, that's Inside.
So I saw Dunkey's video on Inside, which is the reason I suggested it, because he said good things. He's like, I loved Inside, it was great, and so that's the reason I was like, Inside last time we recorded.
No, like,
Keenan couldn't think of anything, so that's why I suggested it. And I thought when you got to that part, because you spend so long avoiding and stealthing, and I thought it was going to be this thing where it turns it on your head and you just friggin' murder everybody.
Yeah, I thought I was going to get to just, like, blob everyone.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
You blob one guy.
Yeah, and, like, not
and
even
I don't
really
even think that was on purpose.
You just, like, run him over, and then he gets up and runs away.
Yeah, I think he was just, like, he just didn't get out of the way.
Yeah, so, like, it's weird because, like, you're conditioned to fear everything the whole game, and then there's no payoff,
yeah,
right? There's no, ha ha, fuckers, I'm the monster! There's no, like, I don't even know if I died at the end, right? Like, you hit the beach.
I don't think you were dead. I think you were just chilling.
You're just
like,
chilling
oh,
in the
cool.
sunlight?
Sun.
Is that
yeah,
the thing?
Yeah,
like, am
it.
I a cat person blob?
No.
Like, I'm more inclined to think you're dead at the end.
Right.
I think you're a creature that has not been put together to live a long time.
It kind of feels like I'm dead.
But then what's the point? Like, what?
That's my problem!
I don't think I have a thing I can point to and say, that's the point of the game.
Right, and that's part of my frustration with it, is that, like, I went through all of this for what?
Like, you escaped the man, and then, like, that's it. That's what you
did. Escaped the man and became the thing.
But yeah, like, even when you turn into the Lin Katamari, like, you're still more or less doing the same stuff you've been doing.
Yeah, you're doing the exact same stuff,
like
but with slight twists.
Yeah. You're doing variations on the puzzles. You're moving boxes, you're climbing up on top of things.
You can throw things now.
Yeah.
But that's, like, the one new action.
Yeah.
You can throw things by way of having 19 arms.
The thing I did not like about this game is just, like, its core philosophy about how puzzles should be made.
Mm-hmm.
Where often, when I would complete a puzzle, it's not because I was exposed to the puzzle elements and figured it out in my head. It is because I tried every permutation of interacting with these objects that I could conceive of,
mm-hmm,
and I just brute forced into finding the one that worked.
Or the foreknowledge thing, like, you know,
yeah,
because this is it's definitely a runner. Right. It's in a vein of the runner, right? And so there was puzzles near the beginning where I saw them and instantly knew what to do, and did it, and that felt good. It was a good payoff. It was like, oh, I did the thing and avoided getting killed by a dog.
Right.
Right? But then later in the game, you literally have to... You have to die to the puzzle at least once to figure out even how it works.
You have to die to the puzzle to know it's a puzzle.
Yeah.
Right? Like, in a lot of, like...
Yeah, that's a really important distinction to make.
So the instance, like, we were talking about where you're blending in with the crowd of zombies, right? There's a point where you walk into a room and there's this dude in a mask with a dog on a leash, and the dog starts freaking out and barking at you.
Yeah.
And
I thought I was supposed to stay still, because that's what I've been doing.
Right, yeah. So I, the first time... sit still thinking I can blend in, even though I'm the only one with a red shirt, whatever. And so I sit there and the dog just rolls up and rips my throat out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's not, you know, this is the like core problem I have with this game, along with there's no purpose to it, is that that's not what I was supposed to do. And I just got murdered for it.
Well, and the game is completely wordless. There's no text. There's no voiceover.
Right.
There's no nothing. So the game has to teach itself to you completely wordlessly. And so when it says, okay, the lesson right now you're going to learn through this environment is A, and you need to keep doing A or you're going to lose this in this area.
Right.
And then because it's wordless, you will shift into puzzle B and not know it. And the way you fail puzzle B is by doing A.
Right, right. So I'm trying to blend in. The dog comes at me. I'm like, it'll just sniff me. You know, like, I'm just like trying to be cool.
Yeah.
And then it rips my throat out, and the game starts me back over, and I'm like, okay.
I think that's why I really liked the sound, the Corridor of Deadly Sound.
Sure.
I really liked the Corridor of Deadly Sound, because you knew exactly what was going
on. Oh, yeah, like, it happens once,
and you're
done.
If I'm caught out when the sound goes off, I'm ripped to shreds every single time.
So what Matt's describing is the
sound goes off every, like... What,
5 seconds?
Like 5 seconds. So it's like, I need to figure out a way to be in cover every five seconds while still going forward.
So Matt's describing this section of the game where once you get into...
It's like underground.
It's like underground, and basically there's something somewhere generating a murderous sound. It's sonic booming so hard it literally blows you apart when you're caught in the
open.
It's
super unclear what it is too. Like, my first... reaction to it was that like artillery shells are going off or something.
Right. When you first walk in, you're like, okay, war zone.
You hear it for a really long time before you actually get up to it.
But so then you have to like start hiding behind sliding doors and other stuff. And did you guys get killed by the sliding door?
No.
Did that happen to you?
No.
So there's one puzzle where there's this big sliding door on a track above you, and then there's rails on the bottom. Next to you. And so you grab the door and you move along with it while the murderous sound hits and you're fine. But there's this section where the bar at your feet breaks and you have to make it across in time.
Oh, okay.
So that the door doesn't fucking murder you with the murderous sound.
The one part I got stuck at was where you have to sync the moving gears up
the cam.
With the sound. Yeah.
I YouTubed that one.
That one was a little fiddly.
Well, because like I figured it out because I was like, well, obviously it can't just be stationary. It has to be moving. And then I just sat there for a minute, I thought about it, and I was like, oh, I should just hit it when the sound's going so that it's in second position when I need it to be.
Yeah, so I had to, like, I'm bad at timing puzzles like that, so I had to look that up on, I had to see someone do
there
it.
There were a couple that I had to look up on.
Yeah,
I usually don't like to do that with puzzle games, and there were a number of puzzles I got to where it's like, I don't think those puzzles were beyond my comprehension, but they were beyond my patience.
Right, yeah. Right, that's
that,
definitely...
Like, I just got so... fed up with.
So, but there were large sections of this game that I did enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, there were.
But it was just like is that overall philosophy.
Yeah.
I don't like it for the same reasons I don't like Limbo, which is weird because it's the same people.
Mm-hmm.
So like Limbo,
that's not weird,
right? But it's very much like Limbo Plus in that it doesn't tell me what's going on. It doesn't give me reasons to do what I'm doing. I walk into a room and a spider murders me in my head, and I don't know why, and I don't know how to get past the spider. Yes, I never got past the spider in Limbo. I know there's a ton of game behind that.
So, yeah,
I just needed that off my chest.
That was the exact same thing happened to me. I went up to the spider in Limbo, and the spider stabbed me in the head, and I said, I don't want to play this anymore.
Right, yeah, like and with that game, it didn't
have... I didn't have to. Because,
right. With that game, it didn't have enough in it to make me want to go further. This game at least achieved that. Like, I had enough what the hell is going on here
so
to keep doing
there
it.
There were shades of Abe's Odyssey and Abe's Exodus in here, in the parts where you're collecting mind-slave dudes that just follow you around.
Oh, sure.
You need 20 fat people to put on the scale so the door opens.
Because the game is so wordless and you're so alone most of the time, I had so much empathy. I wanted my dudes with me for so much longer than they allowed me to have them. Like, whenever that I would jump down a pit and they'd catch me and keep me from taking lethal fall damage, or when they would throw me over a ledge that was too far, I just, oh man, I have so much love for those
dudes. Right, they create this,
they
like,
create this brotherhood, you know?
Yeah, the mind slaves you have. They're your friends.
Yeah.
But the being alone the rest of the time and nothing but dogs murdering you happening creates that.
Like, I agree with you. Like, I also feel empathy for my corpse buddies. I like to imagine that the flesh katamari at the end is them. That you become one with your flesh life buddies.
Right, that's sort of what I got out of it, like, from a philosophical angle, but I still don't know what any of that means.
Especially if, like, the takeaway from the ending is that like, the best you could do is escape this oppressive world by getting out of it in, like, a superficial way and then dying as your means of escape. I brought my friends with me, too.
Yeah.
I saved them, too.
Yeah, but I will get annoyed with the game for over-explaining itself, but this was one of the... Yeah, so this was one of the few times where I felt the opposite, where I finished a game and it just sort of ends, and I'm like, okay? Like, the whole experience didn't have any, like, I didn't walk away from inside with anything that I didn't come in with.
Sure.
Right? So, like, that was sort of frustrating to me, because most of the time, like, cool indie games everyone loves, there's, like, some cool thing that I enjoy. And in this instance, it was like, I played that for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Cool.
I almost stopped playing the game in the mermaid sections.
Oh yeah, those were
yeah. That shit was tough.
The like little.
It wasn't that it was hard. Okay. I did not emotionally or ludally, like, I don't know how you say that. I didn't enjoy playing that. I didn't enjoy looking at that. I didn't enjoy being there. There was nothing about that section that I found even remotely enjoyable.
I found it really satisfying to launch my submarine out of the water.
That was okay. That one specific action was fun.
I like the lunging with the submarine, especially since at the end of that section, it's like, oh, that's a beach. I'm just going to throw my submarine up on the beach and break the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, that's how this section ends. And it's like, I kind of knew that.
I wanted to believe.
But like, that was, like, really satisfying, too, to, like, have it, like, poof, like, land in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do that. I got out and swam as fast as I fucking could because I knew that fucking girl was in the water somewhere.
It's a boy.
Whatever.
Because it's you. It's whatever. It's another version. Like, that's you. That's why eventually when they take you down, you can breathe underwater.
It's an underwater dog and ripped my throat out, sure, as far as I'm concerned.
It is an underwater dog. So, and actually, it never does rip your throat out or eat you. When it catches you in the water, it just pulls you down.
I had blood happen in the places that it caught me.
I never noticed any blood.
Okay.
I noticed it dragging me down, and that was it.
There was a lot of faceless child getting his throat ripped open in my game.
Yeah.
That was unnerving.
Sure. Does that make you a dog? It
Shut up!
If it's a water dog, and it's you.
Yeah.
Are you a dog with the dog haver zone?
Oh, and stop.
Yes, shut up.
I don't want to examine that game that way.
Do you notice that, like, I keep calling him like the man or whatever, but like you're the antagonist of the game. Like they have, like, they're not all just participants in this thing. Like, some of the people in there, like, are just civilians.
Mm-hmm. Like the guy who helps you when you're a blob.
Yeah, well, I mean more like there's that, but
that guy's so shit scared.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, get away from the door.
I think he's just stoked to see what the lab creation's doing. Now, what I mean is, when you're doing the part we talked about earlier, when you're waiting in the zombie line, there's, like, a woman holding a baby. Like,
yeah, just there are just bystanders in that situation.
They're like, checking out, like, almost like they're prospective, like, slave buyers or something. It's like, oh, yeah, these zombies are going to, you know, make great...
They're going to wash my dishes.
Yeah, they're going to make great employees.
Right. There's a sort of normalization throughout the early process of that game of the zombies being around, of you getting murdered, that there are people complicit with in a very passive way.
Yeah.
And it sets up the whole situation
the dudes in vans with rifles and face masks.
Right, yeah. And it sets up the whole situation to be like, I understand why I'm running, because this is not acceptable. right, from like a moral standpoint, none of this is okay.
Well, then that's kind of why I thought when you get the flesh category, right. I'm going to kill everybody. Right.
I thought I was just going to start ripping people apart and stuffing their bits
and
in me.
And I know that's a theme with me, and people probably think I'm a sociopath. But
no, like, no, I think that's a totally valid thing, though. The game victimized you the whole time.
Yeah, I want my riot porn.
Right. Like the game victimized you the whole time. Most games that victimize you for a while at least give you a moment, yeah, right?
There was no catharsis.
But there was no...
This game was all blue balls.
I did not have built-up desire.
No?
It didn't give me blue balls in that respect.
I wanted to kill a bunch of masked guys.
Yeah, like, I popped that... So the moment you become the blob and you swim over and you rip the tank you're in open.
Yeah.
Like, you rip... When you're little, you go over there and you're like, I'm going to pull the plug on this thing. That's neat. It doesn't work because you're too small. When you're the blob, you pull the whole thing the plug is plugged into in the glass off. The glass comes with, and you spill out in this pile of water into everyone else on the other side. And then, like, my thing is, like, I'm going to Weapon X the shit out of this place, right? Like, I'm like, I'm going to rip people apart. There's this place full of blood back here that's going to be way worse when I'm done with it, yeah. Right? Like it sort of sets that whole implication up when you get
there. The viscera cleanup detail is going to need to be in this place.
Yeah. Right. Like, I apologize to the crime scene cleanup team already. Like,
I was talking to a friend of mine about this game. We were talking about the ending. Like, you turn into the murder ball, you smash through the walls. You run over bad guys.
Yeah,
or whatever.
You murder walls and bad crates.
Guys. Yeah. But anyway, like, you smash through the walls, and I was talking to him about it. Like, in retrospect, you're doing. Not only are you doing like the same types of puzzles you were doing before, you're moving boxes and climbing on shit. But like, it's really kind of incidental that you're smashing through those walls. They more or less don't exist. It's like if when you were a little boy, there were walls of tissue paper.
Right.
And of course, he can just walk through them. They're...
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's an implied door, the same way all the other doors in the game are implied.
Yeah.
And you just know you're a big blob that can go through it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, there's other parts in that game where you can destroy things, and like, you it's a real barrier that you have to contend with, and this is your way to work.
Takes more than 2 fucking seconds to go through it.
Yeah. Like, there's that one where you have to smash holes in it's in the submarine section, and then you have to swim through it.
Did anyone run across the things with the yellow cables going to them that you unplug?
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone understand that?
I think it was just like an Easter egg thing.
What is this?
So there's these, there's like in certain parts of the game, especially early when you get to the city, there's these alternate paths you can take. If you see a yellow cable, you can follow it instead of like going forward in the level. And there will be sort of, you know, at the end where you disconnect the thing that's plugged into the flesh blob by like pulling the lung tubes out, there's a smaller version of that that's like playing a signal. And you can pull it out and it'll stop.
Yeah, it's like a half a sea mine on a tripod with a plug in it, and you pull the plug and it stops doing whatever it's doing.
Mm-hmm. And it seemingly has no effect, but I think it's just like a collectible, because this game is like a platformer.
I feel like there may be a thing where if I got all of them, something would happen, but I didn't. So like, I unplugged like 6 or 7 of them and nothing happened.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, it comes back to my sort of like, nothing is given to me as to why I did what I did or what it will mean.
One thing I noticed in the game I think is actually done really well is it has like escalating gruesomeness.
Mm-hmm.
Like that makes it sound like more like cheap than I mean. Like there's escalating like horror to what you're experiencing.
Mm.
Like one of the first puzzles, I forget what it's called. It's one of those farming machines that sucks up grain and spits it out of chute. And the way that puzzle works is you trick a bunch of baby chicks into going into it and knocking over a thing. And one of them just dies. And it's like the most pitiful, insignificant death. It's like a little baby...
But it's chick. Early. And it's something you killed.
Yeah, it's something you killed. And like, you do like... more and more grotesque things as the game progresses. Like, there's that part where there's the door that won't open unless 20 dudes stand on it.
And you throw a corpse on it.
And you find 18 dudes yourself. I guess I'll go get that corpse and drag it over here and put it on the scale. Now we're 20 dudes.
But to get the corpse, you need the 18 dudes. Go up there, have them throw you across the pit that you can literally kick this dead dude onto the scale. Yeah.
So you, like, manhandle this corpse.
Yeah, so there's, between that and, like, constant murder.
Yeah, well, and then the kid's death animations also escalate in horror as the game goes on. Like you get killed by dogs early in the game, and, like, that's pretty fucked up to see a child get eaten by a dog. But, like, the stuff later in the game is like. Like you're talking about the
corridor of
the sound, the sound of death, the shockwave.
You just explode.
Yeah, you get gibbed like it's 1999.
Yeah,
you know?
Or like the dogs in later sections with dogs are more violent. Like they'll rip your arm off. They'll rip your throat.
Yeah, well, there's like that part where there's those three dogs chasing you.
Yeah,
and you have to dick around on the fence. I fucking like once I realized what they wanted me to do with that puzzle, I became even more annoyed.
Yeah, that was a thing that happened to me frequently, and I talked about you with you about this, but I'm going to repeat it for the podcast. Somebody way back when said Dark Souls is a game that continuously makes me ask the question, are you fucking serious? To which Dark Souls always replies yes. And the unsaid part of that quote is that with Dark Souls, you go, okay, and then you do that
right,
thing.
You agree with it saying yes.
And then... With this one, that same loop happens. With the game, I say, game, are you fucking serious? This is what you want me to do? And the game says, absolutely. And I say, go fuck yourself. I am frustrated with the game for asking me to do this.
Yeah, so I never really hit a point where I was like super mad at it, but I also never hit a point like I've heard people whose opinions I respect on games talk about this game like it's this major work of art and this incredible
thing.
I never had that feeling, so I'm sort of I'm disappointed that I'm not seeing what these other people are seeing. I don't get it. And I don't know how to get it, so I've just sort of let go of it.
Speaking of letting go, is there anything else anyone wants to say about this game?
It looks really good.
It's technically, visually, sound.
It plays really smooth.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, there's something else I was talking about with my friend is, it's got really good visuals. It's got this like stark style. It's beautifully lit. It's got great sound design. Something that I think can go understated is not just how good the animations are, but how well they blend.
Yes.
Like it very, very rarely looks video gamey. Like my character very rarely looks like he's being controlled by a jackass holding a controller.
Right, nothing is canned and skips to itself.
The drum fills of animation.
Right. Yeah it's very fluid all the way through.
I remember watching a video about somebody doing that technology in Jack and Daxter, and I was like, this is the future. You know? Wait, Jack and Daxter was great.
Yeah, but like no one else does that.
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing. It's still the future is my problem with that statement.
Yeah,
it's
fair enough.
It's like when Shadow Mordor came out, everyone was like, oh man, I can't wait for every game to rip off this system. And so far one game has used it since then, and that is the sequel to Shadow of Mordor. Shadow of War is the worst name.
Yes, it's terrible.
Like Shadow of Mordor. Mordor is a made-up word from Lord of the Rings. Like
that, and Shadow of builds on its like Batman-ness of a game.
Like, whatever, that part, like, I don't want to see another game in my life with the word Shadow in the name. But like you put Mordor in there, like I know something about your game. If I hadn't heard of that game being announced and someone said like, yo, what about that game Shadow of War, huh?
Lord of the Rings, Shadow
of
War.
No. That's not what I said.
Yeah.
If you said, hey, what about that game Shadow of War? And it's like,
that doesn't tell you anything.
Is it talking about a phone game? Is that the new Clash of Clans thing? Is Shadow of War?
Is Commandos coming back?
Yeah. Yeah, is
War Thunder getting a new DLC?
Is that Fallout Tactics 2? Like, what is Shadow of War? Yeah. Like, that is worse than Heroes of the Storm in terms of, like, name.
I mean, these are the people who made Fear.
That's...
I think that has better recognition.
First Encounter Assault Recon. Fear.
For
Threer. For Threer, yes.
Only one of them's called that.
Now all of them are.
The For Threer series,
Shadow of War is a terrible name.
It is a terrible game. But I know in the future I'll get another Nemesis System game, and I'm cool with that.
Yep. I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's my only real dog about it. That name sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird, too, because, because it was, like, I didn't know about it being a leak, but, my Steam page one day was like, hey, pre-order this game.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? The announcement is the pre-order?
So, like, I guess someone got a hold of, like, some PR material or something. Like, hey, this is the thing. Yeah. And then they're like, yeah, it's the thing. Here's the trailer. And, like, it's funny because the trailer shows no gameplay, right? It's all story.
Yeah.
It's all, like, filler in between first game and Lord of the Rings business.
Like I'm hyped to fight a Balrog.
Yeah. No, it's going to be cool. I'm into it, but...
I want a different genre of game that uses the Nemesis system.
Right.
But like I say, know you say that the actual gameplay loop of that game doesn't work for you.
Yeah, I suck at Batman fighting.
I was kind of hoping like Mafia 3 would have the Nemesis system.
Yeah, that'd be
great. I was a little sad that it didn't.
So what was the game you were talking... Do you take someone C-list in, like, a superhero universe like The Flash?
Yeah, this is a thing
Owen was telling me about.
Yeah.
And then you use the Nemesis system to randomly generate villains for them to fight.
The thing I saw on Twitter was, what if you took the Nemesis system but made it about 60s Batman and used it to procedurally generate 60s Batman villains?
Yeah.
And it's like,
I'm into it.
Wow.
Hat guy.
I don't even like playing this genre of game, and I would force myself to learn how to play it. Because, like, that sounds amazing if it's going to procedurally generate people like Typeface.
Yes.
For me to fight.
And, yes, Typeface. Oh, man.
You know, like, that sounds amazing.
Great White.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that sounds incredible.
Fucking Condiment King.
Is this going to be a racially mixed organization? Venture Brothers quote. Look it up.
Yep. White noise. terrible cable TV.
Yes. Terrible. Anyway.
Yeah, that's the only gaming news I know of.
Well, so, but you skipped a thing.
I skipped a thing.
Keenan.
Oh.
You.
This week's dumbest thing in wrestling is that Randy Orton burned his tag team partner Bray Wyatt's house down.
That sounds great.
To no legal repercussions, they're going to solve it at WrestleMania.
Yeah, of course they are.
Because wrestling.
So, when you say he burned his house down to no legal repercussions, did an actual house somewhere burn down?
They actually showed footage of them burning a dilapidated house down.
Okay, let me rephrase this question a little differently. Did a house that he lives in get burned down?
Ostensibly, this character lives here. We have seen him cut many promos from this building.
Okay, that just means it was set up a long time ago.
The Wyatt family compound has been in continuity.
You answered, what I was looking for. like, did he actually commit a felony? I was like, probably not.
Yeah, it's not like all of a sudden Bray Wyatt has a house and he's burning it down. It's like, no, this has been a place.
The house probably is owned by Vincent McMahon.
Yes. Like, in reality, yes. But, like, there was a match there at one point. You're like, this is in continuity a thing.
No, okay. I can appreciate that. Like, that's a beautifully stupid thing.
But yes, Randy Orton burned a man's house down because he's crazy.
And that is the prestige.
Yes.
Promos from this house for a year and then burn it down.
Yeah. Damn it. This is a fucking long game right there.
No, like, I can respect that. Yeah. Right. That's legit.
We already kind of talked about VR.
Yeah, oh, I downloaded a new VR game. I haven't played it yet. It was real cheap. It's called Spooky's Jump Scare Mansion.
Sounds great.
Remaster HD. And it's like, you have to make it through 1,000 rooms. And from what I saw in the the game was like $3.
Make it through? What does that mean?
Like, not take your headset off.
Oh, okay.
And, like, it starts out real dumb.
All right.
From what it looks like in the trailer, like, just kind of goofy shit. Mm. And then, like by the end, it's like, it's some legit-ass jump scares. And so I was like, you know what? Like, sign me up. Like, fuck it.
Yeah, all right. Because if they're gonna ease you into it like that, then, you know, why not?
Also, with a name like that, like if you're going to be like that on the nose, like, yeah, this is Spooky's, like ownership. Like, Spooky is someone who owns this place.
I hope that game becomes Pony Island for you.
Yeah?
I hope that it looked
Pony
that way.
Pony Island?
Do you not know about Pony
Island?
Oh,
God. That...
So, I hope that game becomes a weird thing for you.
We'll show that to you later. That game's a whole fucked up other thing.
What? Can you give me,
Pony Island is a hacking game. You hack into a children's game called Pony Island that is owned by Satan.
Okay, well, no, we're done talking about this.
So it just turns.
We're done talking about this. Okay,
really hard on
so,
you.
In VR, I got Super Hot VR to work, and I played it for about an hour, and then Keenan came home, and what happens when I find a new thing in VR is I go, Keenan, put the headset on, and don't tell him what it is, and just boot it up.
Yeah, so I'm a guinea pig, which is a lot of fun.
And then Keenan wouldn't take it off and beat the entire
game. It hit me, somewhere in the second hour, I could ask Matt if he wants back in. But he hasn't said anything, so I'm going to keep going.
No, I mean, you were having a lot of fun murdering those red dudes.
I came out of Super Hot really sweaty.
Yeah.
One thing I love about the Super Hot games is the enemies in it are actually literally called red dudes. like if you look at the achievements, it'll say like kill 1987 red dudes, and it's just like yeah man,
but yeah,
thumbs up.
Super Hot VR. Super Hot VR definitely
gets our seal of approval. Revive is a wonderful tool. That's what I have to say about it. And I liked in Super Hot VR, since you're doing it with your hands, it sort of becomes this like motion memory or muscle memory ballet that you do. Like each level is like, I do like this motion and then transition into this motion. And like, you know, there's certain points you got to hit and stuff. But so there's like
Super Hot VR doesn't have the body jump the way regular Super Hot does.
Yeah. Oh,
so it's more about getting yourself out of the situation you're in than it is about like creating a new one.
You can't really move because it's designed for Oculus. Mm-hmm.
You know, so. Well, but the body jump doesn't require you to really move.
No, the way that the game is designed in the VR is that like you're kind of stationary in this box, mm-hmm. And things are happening to you. Like there's a few levels where people are shooting at you. You don't have a gun, and you gotta like ballet through their bullets till they get close enough for you to punch them.
Yeah, the coverage I've seen of that game so far seems to suggest that like this isn't like, oh my god, the game's ruined because it's on Oculus and not on Vive, but like. The gist I got, or the impression I got, is that, like, the way the game is designed is influenced by the fact that, at least for now, it's Oculus exclusive. Mm-hmm. That, like, basically, they don't throw a lot of enemies at your back because Oculus doesn't track well if you turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. Or at least it didn't at launch. It's better now, I'm told, if you buy all the base stations and crap.
Yeah, I noticed that, like, you know, the PC version of Super Hot really likes to spawn dudes behind you. Sneak up on you.
VR doesn't. It's all like
Normal Super Hot is definitely a lot of situational awareness and like looking over your shoulder.
But you can also turn in Normal Super Hot and not trigger the speed.
Yes, you.
It's so if I snap 180 in regular Super Hot, it moves time forward way less than if I snap 180 in VR mm-hmm. Super Hot.
Okay, I believe that.
Like if I were to do this with my neck, I would be dead in Super Hot VR.
There's a bit of an art to it because if you do what he did, which is like sort of your head forward and like turn, like you know, like turn around, then that's one thing, and time will move quickly if mm-hmm. you do that. But if you like stand up straight and just kind of rotate, like penguin feet,
it has a certain sensitivity to it.
Then it's not going to move time forward very much.
Okay.
So
also, Super Hot VR is a little harder in the time control management because. It's not just your head, and it's not just your hands. It's both. Mm-hmm. So you have to be cognizant of that, and like if you're trying to move things slowly, you can only move one. I found myself
being in positions where I'm moving my head very slowly and sort of doing like Tai Chi with my hands uh-huh. to move time forward. Like I'd be like waving my hands in front of me to move time forward.
Yeah, for that. Do jazz hands to progress things.
Anyway, Super Hot VR is great. I recommend checking it out. Video game news we already talked about. Sort of. Is there anything else anyone wants to talk about?
The probe was announced for Heroes of the Storm, and I'm excited.
I'm excited about that. Like,
what? Wait! I actually haven't heard about this.
No, that happened on Friday. They announced Probius. He's a little anime probe. He's got eyebrows. He drops pylons and
cannons
and photon cannons.
Is he a specialist?
Probably.
I think he's a specialist.
He also has some sort of ability where he powers up his cannons to beat people up.
Do you know what Owen likes to play?
Yeah, he's a specialist.
Yeah, especially silly ones.
Yeah. So Probius is coming out, so that'll be cool.
Okay, I almost have 10,000 gold saved up.
It's 15 on the newest hero.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see if I can get 15 by the time he comes out.
You can get to work, it's fine.
Yeah.
So that happened.
I think that's a show, friends.
So where can we find us, Owen?
Oh, if you have corrections, comments, questions, concerns, you can
good recipes we should have.
Yeah. If you want to send us Steam codes to your hot game that you want us to play, send them to this email address and we'll add them to our library and maybe play them, but probably
preferably three of them.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone wants to send us a code for an indie game, we'll play it.
You can send them to badplaystyle@gmail.com. We got an email address with one of the largest corporations on Earth because we're that big a deal.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk to the other listener, you can go to the Bad Playstyle subreddit at reddit.com/r/ I play Silent Hill.
Yeah, it has no post, so get on that.
It has one post.
It does?
It's by me.
Oh, cool. What are we playing, Keenan?
We are playing Beholder next.
Oh, Dungeon of the Beholder.
I love it.
Beholder. Unfortunately...
All 13 eyes?
There are not... there are 13 or more eyes.
I don't even
know
if that's the correct number. I haven't...
But we are not fighting an eyeball monster with eyeball tentacles. That's
spell level.
Nine. So, thank you.
That's not what's happening. So, Beholder is a game that sort of feels like it's in the same universe as Papers, Please. You're in a totalitarian state. It's a dictatorship of some kind.
Penis potato ship.
And the game opens, and you and your family, your son and your daughter and your wife, have moved into the basement of a new tenement building. And it is your job, as prescribed by the guy who puts you here and the state, to spy on all of your tenants, and you are the landlord. And you spy on them for the state. You send the state reports, and you call down the thunder on them if they are doing illegal things like owning jeans.
Call down the thunder!
Do I work for the dog havers?
Yes, you do work for the dog havers. But the thing about this game that's fun, I've played it a little bit already, it presents these sort of moral situations where, for instance, like, if I get caught sneaking in the professor's house, the professor's gonna be like, hey man, I'll give you 10 grand if you don't tell them. And, like, you need money for stuff, right? You need money for medication for your kids. Your son wants to go to college in the game
Is your family procedurally generated?
No, they're always the same.
Okay, because I hate my son.
Yeah, no, he's... Yeah. But, like, so there's events that require money or something. Or, like, say you have a neighbor you really like and you want to help them out. They might need some books and you can buy them for them and give them to them. So like, that 10 grand, that can go a ways, you know? And, like, there's, like, monthly... Okay. There's monthly, like, check-ins
there's
and stuff.
There's conflicts of interest.
So yeah, so it creates, Papers, like, Please, but less of an art installation.
Yeah, it definitely feels like you're in Arstotzka, though. Like very similarly.
But, like, Papers, Please is literally a example of, like, that thing Picard says, where you can make all the right choices and still lose.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And it's like...
I mean, it's that, too, though.
Yeah. Oh, well, great.
Yeah.
I'm gonna love it.
There's some of that.
Well, Papers, Please actually has, like, a story, though.
Yeah.
Like,
there is an ending, but it's hard. But yeah, it's interesting. Its mechanics are fun. I like it. So
okay, cool. I already have it installed. So, but if you know, it's not too late to change your mind for Dungeon of the Beholder for SNES.
I would love to play that game.
We'll see what we can do.
Or was it Demon Seed? Or
yeah,
I know I have the Genesis version of the D&D game in the Valley of the Dark Sun, or something like that.
Well, there was a Dark Sun game for Genesis?
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't think you understand. Dark Sun is the post-apocalyptic setting that came out in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
Because they were like...
And there's too many orcs.
Because they were like, so if we're going to put out psionics, everyone needs to suck.
Uh-huh.
And it needs to be super brutal.
Uh-huh.
And it was like this whole redesign that one of the guys did, and that's where, like, Threekeen come from, and all the psionic shit from Second Ed that's hella busted.
I don't know if that stuff's in that game.
It absolutely is.
But
and,
it's
oh, and
a
there's half-dwarves in Dark Sun. There's half-dwarves.
It's
and they're,
a mess.
They're, what are they called? They're called, like, mugs or so mods or something.
That game's really weird because in the overworld, you're in a top-down, style thing. And in Dungeons...
That's one of the games where you can just roll your stats forever and have a high stats.
Yeah. And in Dungeons, it's like Gru style. You're in a room. Do you want to go left, right, forward? Oh, there's a monster. You need to fight it.
There's a Gru, you're dead.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a mess.
So.
Why are we talking about that? Bye!
Dungeons of the Beholder for SNES.
Our theme music is made by my good friend Benjamin Busey. You can find his SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/basicbenji206.